that we're holding on Mem Omid Beis by the Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of things that we're allowed and not allowed to do in connection with flour, with involving flour on Pesach. Mishnah says, "Ein noisim kemach l'seh charoises or l'seh hachadol." You're not allowed to put flour into charoises or mustard. Now, charoises doesn't necessarily mean the kind that we use on Pesach night. Charoises, Rashi translates it with a French word, which means something sharp. A fair translation of it would be dressing. Rashi describes, for example, you dip meat in it. It's made with vinegar. It's used as a dip for meat or for other kinds of foods, and you often put in it flour, and you put other like this. It's sharp, so you put in flour in order to blunt the taste a little bit. So you're not allowed to put flour into that on Pesach because it's going to become chametzdik. Or let's say chachadol, or into mustard. V'imnosan yechom miyad. If you did put in flour, then you have to eat it right away. V'rab Meir oiser, whereas Rab Meir says it's oser. We're going to see in the Gemara whether this that you're saying that you can eat it right away is referring to both of them. We're going to see in the Gemara it's not necessarily referring to both of them, maybe only one of them. So we'll see about that. Now the Mishnah digresses to talk a little bit about the dinim of the Korban Pesach. We know most of the dinim of the Korban Pesach are going to be later in the Masechta. In particular, the details about roasting it and eating it are going to be in the seventh perek. But here, the Mishnah digresses a minute to talk about some dinim of the Korban Pesach. Tosfos actually wonders why. We'll talk about in a second why. What some of us should give reasons why. But anyway. Now that we know the Torah tells us the Korban Pesach has to be roasted, the Loshon and the Pasuk is, which we're going to be analyzing this Pasuk in detail in the Gemara, is Al Tochlu Mimenu. First the Pasuk says that you should eat it Sli Eishul Matzis, you should eat it roasted on fire together with Matzis and Maror. Then the Pasuk says Al Tochlu Mimenu Na, don't eat it Na, which we'll see later what Na means, Uvoshel Mavoshel Bamoyim, or at all cooked with water, Kim Sli Eish. Rather, you should eat it roasted on the fire. So therefore, our Mishnah says, "Ein mevashel nasa pesach lo b'mashkin v'lo b'mei peiros." You're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach with mashkim or with other kinds of fruit juices. Mashkim can mean the ones that are mashal, the kabbal tumah fruit juices, the other ones, etc. The point is that you're not allowed to. Because the pasuk is avoshel mavoshel, we'll see in the Gemara it says avoshel mavoshel b'moyim. So why is it not also only in water? We'll talk about that in the Gemara. Abel sochen makbilin oisib behen, but you're allowed to smear the Korban Pesach, and you're allowed to dip it into them. Now, when we say smearing it, Rashi says while it's roasting. Different Mefarshim talk about, different Rishonim talk about, the Rambam seems to write in one place that you're allowed to do it even while it's roasting, in another place he seems to be saying that you can only do it after it's roasted. Whatever the case, you can smear the Korban Pesach with liquids during or after the roasting, and you're allowed to dip it in liquids while you're eating it. Now, so that's Maram Chalava explains that that's what this part is doing in our Mishnah. Why don't we leave it for the seventh perek when we're dealing with the dinim of roasting the Korban Pesach? Because when the Mishnah says you're allowed to dip it or to baste it with them, it means with charoses or chaudol that we just mentioned. You can't put flour in them, but you could use them to smear or to dip your Korban Pesach. That's what this is doing in the Mishnah. The Rashash actually adds the chiddush of it is even though charoses and mustard are very sharp, and you would think therefore that they're mevatel the taste of the Korban Pesach, that you shouldn't be having the taste of the Korban Pesach in your mouth, and instead you're going to be having the taste of the charoses or the mustard. Doesn't matter. You're still allowed to do it. You're just not allowed to cook it in liquids. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Mei tashmishe shel nachdoim, the water that's used by a baker, for example, he wets his hands with it while he's kneading the dough and while he's basting it, whatever. So that water, yishafchu, has to be poured out. We're talking about, in other words, if he's baking matzah during Pesach, so the water has to be poured out afterwards, as the Gemara is going to say at the end of the perek, not in a place where it's going to collect in a puddle, but in a place where it's going to drain away, because they're going to become chametz, because they have little bits of flour and dough mixed into it. Okay, so the Gemara starts off with the first din in the Mishnah, that if you put flour into charoses or chardol, so we said you eat it right away, and Rav Meir says not. So Amar Rav Kahana machloikus l'secha chardol. That machloikus is only if you put the flour into mustard, because mustard at least is very, very sharp, so therefore that over sharpness will keep it from becoming chametz right away. But if you put it into charoses, you start off miyad, then everybody would agree you have to burn it right away because charoses is sharp, but not sharp enough to prevent the flour from becoming chametz. Actually, we learned in yesterday's Gemara, we mentioned that vinegar can prevent things from becoming chametz, but the Tosfos Rid says that's talking about when vinegar is boiling, when you're putting it in a hot pot. But here we're talking about cold vinegar that's in the charoses is not going to prevent it from becoming chametz. Adrabe, it's going to hasten the process of becoming chametz. Therefore, you can't say you should eat it. Because by the time you eat it, it's going to become chametz, because it's becoming chametz even faster than regular. There is, by the way, a machlokes rishonim, whether we're talking about over here, do the charoses and chardol over here contain water? Because we learned a few days ago that mei peres ein machmitzin, that fruit juice can't make things chametz. So one way of looking at it then is if there's no water in these things, then it's not going to become chametz, and there's no problem. We'd have to be talking about that there's some water in the mix. The other way of understanding it, though, would be we said that even if May Peris can't make full chametz, they might make chametz nukshta, they might make like a hard or not fully edible chametz, and therefore it would still be awesome. Another explanation, by the way, that's brought from the Yerushalmi, the reason the difference between charoses and chardol is chardol you can eat in one sitting. Charoses, you can't. You have a batch of charoses, you have a batch of dressing like that, you're not going to eat it all in one sitting, and by the time you do, it's going to become chametz. Tani Nami Hochi, the Gemara says, we learn similarly in a Braisa. Ein noisten kemach l'secha charoses. You're not allowed to put flour into charoses. V'im nosin yisarif miyad. If you did, you have to burn it right away. But l'secha chardol, if you put it into mustard, Rameyer, I mean, yisarif miyad. Rameyer says also you have to burn it right away. V'chamim yo'ochom miyad. Whereas the Chachamim say you can eat it right there on the spot before it has a chance to become chametz. So we see from this Braisa what Rav Kahana is saying, that there's a distinction between charoses and mustard. Okay, so Amar of Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim. The Halacha is like the Chachamim, that in the case of mustard, you would be able to eat it right away. You don't have to burn it right there on the spot. Why he has to mention that? Usually, Machlokes or Meir and the Chachamim, the Halacha would be like the Chachamim. There's a number of reasons. One of them being that he's telling us you don't have to be Machmir like Rav Meir. But Amar of Nachman, Beitzchok, Rav Huna, Breder of Yehuda. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchak asks Rav Huna, Breder of Yehuda, you're telling us the halacha is like a chachamim. A charoses kamamar or a chardol kamamar? Are you talking about charoses or are you talking about mustard? In other words, Rashi says, do you hold that the chachamim are arguing about both? So not like Rav Kahana, or do you hold like Rav Kahana that they're only arguing about mustard? So he asks him, what's the practical difference? And the Tzlach explains, when he says, what's the practical difference? Rav Huna, he says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak had misunderstood and thought that Rav Huna is talking about what Rav Meir would hold. That when we're saying halacha gedivrei chachamim, but we're stressing, in other words, as opposed to what Rav Meir holds. So then it would become important to know what Rav Meir holds versus what he doesn't. So he's asking, what's the nafka minah? If the halacha is like a chachamim, what do we need to know where they're arguing and where not? So he answers, l'di Rav Kahana. I want to know regarding what Rav Kahana says. The Amar Rav Kahana, we just said, Rav Kahana had said, machloikas l'secha chardol, that the machloikas is only if it's in mustard. Av l'secha charoises, divrei haku yisarif miyad. But if it's in charoises, everybody would agree that you have to burn it right away. So I want to know, when you say that, when you say that the halacha is like a chachamim, are they disagreeing on charoises as well? Would the chachamim say, when it comes to charoises, that you could also eat it right away, just like they would as far as chardol, which after all is the simple meaning of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah mentioned charoises and chardol, or is it rather like Rav Kahana, who says that they agree on charoises and just disagree on chardol? Amalei, so Rav Huna answers, Lo Shmieli, I haven't heard of this. Kaloima, which is a way of saying, Lo Svirali, I don't hold of it. I hold, in other words, that they do in fact argue on both Charosis and Chardol, and the halacha would be like the Chachamim in both of them, that you could eat them right away. Which Tosfos says, what about Rav Kahana? What about the Braisa that we use to support Rav Kahana? Okay, but he says the Mishnah seems to contradict that Braisa, because the Mishnah mentioned Chardol and Charosis together, and presumably the same din applies to both. So therefore, Rav Huna, Breda Rav Yehuda, holds that's it. The Mishnah is arguing with the Braisa, and the Halacha is like the Mishnah that the Chachamim would agree even by the Chachamim would disagree rather with Rav Meir and say even by Charosis you could eat it right away. You don't have to burn it. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi, however, Rav Ashi says, Kavaseda Rav Kahana Mistabra. It's logical to say that what Rav Kahana is saying is correct, that's the correct understanding of the Mishnah, that everybody agrees Charosis with flour you'd have to burn right away, because again, the sharpness of it is not going to be enough to prevent it from becoming chametz, and it may even become chametz faster than with plain water, as opposed to Chardor, which is very, very sharp, and therefore that will slow down the chimutz process. And therefore, you'll have time to eat it. So Rav Ashi says it seems logical to say that. Because we had in the Gemara yesterday, when we were discussing the question of what happens, we said if you did lasisa with barley, where we said lasisa is you soak them in water in order to soften, in order to make it easier to get off the outer shell and then get clean white flour. So we said there. So we said if the grains split open, then they're ulcer. And Rabbi Yossi had said that you put them in vinegar, and the vinegar closes them back up. So we talked about, does that mean Rabbi Yossi would allow that only if you see that they're swelling up, but not if they actually burst open? Would he allow it even if they burst open? Whatever the case, the point is Shmuel had said ein halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi about vinegar having that effect. My love, so wouldn't that mean some musi who delights chametz? If we're saying that vinegar does not prevent chametz, then b'pashtus ha'chamui machama. Then the implication maybe is that in fact it causes the chimutz process to happen even faster. So therefore, that would mean another. If we understand it that way, that would mean Shmuel agrees with Rav Kahana. Charosis, which contains vinegar, is going to become the flour, and it is going to become chametz faster than it would without the vinegar. So therefore that would mean the chachamim can't possibly be allowing charosis, which contains vinegar, with flour in it, because we would be saying it becomes chametz faster. So how can you say you're allowed, and therefore you have to eat it right away before it becomes chametz? You may not have time to eat it before it becomes chametz. And therefore, that would make it logical to say that there is in fact a difference between charosis and chardol, where only with mustard, are the chachamim allowing you to eat it right away, but not with charosis. No, so the chardol, we know the chardol you have to eat right away, sure, because eventually the flour in it will become chametz. The sharpness of it just gives it more time. But yeah. So if we say that Shmuel, who said that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi, that vinegar doesn't prevent chimutz, and we would assume that Shmuel means it promotes chimutz, then that would mean that Shmuel holds like Rav Kahana, and that would mean that Rav Kahana's distinction is valid. However, the Gemara says, loy, not necessarily. Dirma loy mitzvah tzomis v'loy chamor mechama. Maybe vinegar neither prevents chimutz, like Rav Yossi says, but nor does it promote chimutz, like Rav Kahana is saying. So maybe Shmuel would say that the Chachamim would disagree on both charosis and chardol, because charosis contains vinegar, so vinegar, in other words, would be no different, let's say, than water, so of course, eventually the flour would become chametz, but not necessarily so fast that you wouldn't have time to eat the charosis quickly, and therefore maybe Shmuel would hold that way. So not necessarily does Shmuel agree with Rav Kahana. Yeah, we're talking about within what the Chachamim say. We know Rav Meir says it's also, and Rav Meir says it's also even on vinegar, even with mustard. The question is, are the Chachamim saying it's allowed only with mustard, or are they saying it's mutter also with charosis, because you can eat it right away? So Rav Kahana is saying no. What we're saying, not necessarily, is there a valid proof to that. Rav Ashi is trying to bring a proof from what Shmuel said, that Shmuel agrees with Rav Kahana, but not necessarily. Not necessarily do they hold the same way. Nevertheless, the Gemara hasn't contradicted what Rav Kahana says, and the halacha ends up being like him. So if it was charosis, you would have to burn it right away. because it's going to become chametz before you have a chance to do anything with it, as opposed to mustard, then you could eat it right away because the sharpness of it will prevent it from becoming chametz. L'maisa in Shulchan Aruch it says Ashkenazim, we Ashkenazim don't eat mustard anyhow because it's chitnius. So. No, obviously on Yom Tov itself you can't burn it. We're talking about doing Chol HaMoed. If it's doing Yom Tov, then you would have to either get rid of it some other way, like flush it down the toilet or whatever, or cover it with a keli until after Yom Tov, like we learned in the first parak. No, we're not even talking about the Seder. No, remember, Charoisis doesn't mean specifically the Charoisis by the Seder. That's what I was saying at the beginning. Charoisis, a good translation of Charoisis in our sugya would be dressing or dip. Like you would actually describe, you use it, for example, to dip meat in it. So imagine, for example, yeah, you have, let's say, sometime during Pesach, a person is sitting down to a meal. He's eating some meat, because after all, on Chol HaMoed, you're supposed to have simcha, so he's eating some meat. He has some charoisis, but the charoisis is very, to dip the meat in, but the charoisis is very sharp, so he wants to put in some flour in order to weaken the taste of it. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that no, if he did it, then that's also, and he has to burn it right away. Again, according to, if we don't hold like Rav Kahana, then the Chachamim would be saying you could eat it quickly. But if we're saying like Rav Kahana's understanding, then it would mean the Chachamim would say that no, you have to burn it right away because there's not going to be any time for you to eat it before it becomes chametz. Then the Mishnah said Ein Mevashlim Chol. We said you're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in water or in mashkin or mei peiros. So let's talk about that in detail. Tanan Abanan. The pasuk says b'mayim. The pasuk says don't eat the korban pesach na or cooked or voshel mavoshel cooked at all b'mayim in water. So ein li'alamayim. So from that you would only know that it means water. Shar mashkin minayin. How do we know it applies to other kinds of liquids as well? So the answer is Amar Kavachomer. You can make a Kavachomer. Uma Mayim Shein Mefigim Taimon. Madach water doesn't take away the taste of the Korban Pesach because it doesn't give a flavor of its own. And still Asurin. Shar Mashkin Shein Mefigim Taimon. Other kinds of liquids which impart a taste of their own to the Korban Pesach and therefore they overpower the taste of it. Loi Kolshkin, how much more so that you can't cook the Korban Pesach in them? Which, by the way, Tosfos points out, now if a person were to cook the Korban Pesach in any of those other liquids, he'd be chayav malchus. But what do you mean? You can't give malchus based on a kavachomer, ein mazhirin min adin. Tosfos says that's not considered ein mazhirin min adin because it's more of a gilui milsa ba'alma that the kavachomer is telling us. The Kavachomer is telling us that you should know the definition of bishul means not just in water; it means in other kinds of liquids as well. Rebbe says a different explanation. Bamayim, if it only said water, Emi Elamayim, then from the word mayim you would know again only water. Shar mashkin minayin, how do we know it applies to other kinds of liquids as well? Tamalema, uvoshel, mavoshel mikol makom. Therefore, the passage says cooked, mikol makom. The double expression means any kind of cooking, because after all, it could have just said mavoshel bamayim. So by saying mavoshel means any kind of cooking. So the Gemara says, "My binayu." What's the practical difference between the Chachamim's and between the Chachamim's explanation and Rebbe's? The answer is, "Ikabinayu tzli keder." The nafkamina would be, "What if you made a pot roast? So you put it in a pot without water, without any other liquid, but it gets cooked in its own juices." So now, if you learn it from a kavachomer like the Chachamim do, then maybe it would be mutter. But if you learn like Rebbe that you're learning it from the Ribui, after all it is boshel mavoshel, it is cooked after all. So because it's cooked in its own juices, so therefore it would be also. Tosfos actually disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says the machlokus is not whether you're allowed to do it. For sure you're not allowed to do it because after all the pasuk does continue ki im tzli esh that the Korban Pesach has to be roasted on fire and this isn't. The question rather would be not so much whether it's kosher, but would a person get malchus for doing it? According to the Chachamim, he wouldn't, and according to Rebbe, he would. Okay. So Rebbe is not a mute, but from the double expression of voshel mavoshel, whereas the Chachamim are learning it from a kavachomer. Right. So the question is, Rabbanan hai boshel mavoshel mai avilahu, what are the Chachamim doing with the words boshel mavoshel, which Rebbe is using to learn that other kinds of liquids are also? The answer is, mibori lahu l'chidatanya. They use it for this that we learn in a braisa, If you cooked the Korban Pesach and then you roasted it, or you roasted it and then you cooked it, chayev, either way, you chayev for cooking the Korban Pesach when the Torah tells you not to. So that's what we learned from Boshal Mavoshal, that regardless, as long as cooking was done, then you chayev. So the question is, Bishloima Bishloi V'achakach Tzloi, I understand if you cooked it and then you roasted it, why we'd say chayev, dehabashle, because after all you cooked it. So you cooked it first, so therefore, and the cooking at the time, first it was raw, now it's cooked, so it has a major effect on it, so that can be enough to be mechayev him. El tzloi v'achakach bishloi, but if he roasted it and then cooked it, ha tzli eshu, after all it's roasted, and after he was mechayev the mitzvah of roasting it in fire, amai, so why all of a sudden are we saying now, that the cooking of it afterwards causes them to be chayev. Amar Rav Kahana, Hamani Rav Yosi. So Rav Kahana says the answer is that this braisa, which would make him chayev in that case, goes like Rav Yosi, who says that if you have something baked and afterwards cooked, that it is considered cooking. Which is Negeya also as far as Hilchos Shabbos and other things. So Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Yotzin Beroki Kashorui, you're allowed to be Yotzin for Pesach, to be Yotzin the mitzvah of matzah, with matzah that was soaked. So Rashi describes, for example, you soak it in a tavshil after it was baked. Now it's getting, it's falling apart, it's getting dissolved, and it's getting dissolved in there. But as long as, even though it's not dissolved, but softening, it's getting soft in there. But as long as it hasn't completely dissolved, the Tanakama, Rav Meir is going to say that it's still considered, that it's still considered matzah. Or if it's cooked, shaloni moyach, if it didn't completely dissolve, Rav Meir. So the mayor would say that's still considered, it's still considered lechem, therefore you can be yotze with it. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a yotze in Baraka Kashorui. Rabbi Yossi says, fine, you can be yotze with soaked matzah, because then it's still considered bread, avaloi b'mavushal, but not with cooked, not when it was cooked, even if it didn't dissolve. So we see that Rabbi Yossi holds that cooking after baking takes away the effect of the baking, and now it's not considered lechem anymore. So therefore, by the same token over here, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that if you roasted the Korban Pesach and then you cooked it, then it's not considered roasted anymore. And therefore you'd be chayev for cooking it. So it could change, right. Actually, you have a Gemara in Brochus that discusses this and gives a different reason why Rabbi Yossi would say that it's no good because you have to have tam matzah, you have to have the taste of matzah, and once it's cooked, then you don't really have that anymore. So different Rishonim talk about how to reconcile this Gemara with that one. Tosfos actually mentions a couple of points why Rabbi Yossi would say it's no good. One is because maybe we're talking about over here to begin with, where the matzah was made from a batter rather than a dough. Tosfos learns, if it was made from a dough, we had the other day, the sugya about baking and frying and whatever, about all the different things, when it's considered matzah, when it's not. Tosfos learned over there that if something is baked, then even though it's fried or whatever afterwards, it doesn't lose the status of having been baked. However, Tosfos says that's only if it was to begin with made from a thick dough, which is usually baked. But if it's made from a batter, Then baking it and then afterwards cooking it will take away the effect of it being baked. So that's one possibility. Tosfos says we're talking about over here. Or the other possibility Tosfos says is the problem is it would be considered matzah ashira. It would be considered rich matzah, and we know you can't be yotzer with rich matzah for the seder. So the point is that we see that Rav Yossi is saying that cooking afterwards, at least in some cases, can take away the effect of baking. So the same way, cooking afterwards can take away the effect of roasting, and it's not considered roasted anymore. That's fine. All the blood comes out, but nevertheless, after it's roasted, you could still cook it. That's what we're saying. And then if you cook it, then Rav Yossi is saying it's no good. Yeah. By the way, as far as matzah that's soaked, different Rishonim talk about, does this mean you can soak it dafka in water or maybe even in juice? So some of them argue again that if you soak it in juice, you have the problem. You don't have matzah anymore. So lemaisa, I mean, we avoid soaked matzah anyway because we avoid gebruch the whole first 7 days of Pesach. But if a person doesn't have teeth and can't eat it, then you're allowed to soak the matzah in water for him. Better not to soak it in juice unless there's no alternative. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so the point is, Rav Kahana is saying that our braisa that's saying that if you roasted the Korban Pesach and then cooked it, then it would be that a person would be chayev, has to be according to Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, Ula Omar, Afilu Temer Rav Meir, Ula says no, you could even say it works according to Rav Meir, Shiny Hocha, the Amakro, Voshel Mavoshel, but here it's different, because the Torah repeats the word, Voshel Mavoshel, therefore, Mikol Nokim, meaning regardless, any way that's cooked, whether before or after the roasting, is enough to be mechayev him. So therefore, even Rav Meir would agree in this case that the roasting takes away, that the cooking takes away the effect of the previous roasting. If it hadn't said voshel mevoshel twice, then fine, you would say that, then fine, you would say that maybe not. Okay. By the way, Marsha brings in over here something from the Mizrahi on the pasuk. He says, look, if we're saying that the word bamayim would have meant water, and we need some kind of ribui, whether from the kavach haomer or whether from the word of voshel mevoshel, to say that it includes other liquids, so why mention water at all? Just say al toklim and mevoshel and have done with it. He gives the answer that the Mizrahi himself gives the answer, because we find in some places in Tanakh where roasting is described as bishul. You actually have, for example, a pasuk, and you actually have a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, for example, that says about the Korban Pesach, uvishalta v'achalta. Now, it doesn't mean you cook it, because we're saying over here you can't cook the Korban Pesach, so the word bishul can mean roasting. So if you only had the word if it only said boshul, or only mevoshul, then you would think you can't eat it roasted either. So therefore, the Torah needs to tell us, b'moyim, Marsha doesn't like that answer, because after all, we know you have to eat it roasted. The pasuk says sliyesh. So he gives a different question. So he gives a different answer. The fact is, cooking is usually done with water, but therefore that's why the pasuk mentions bamoyin. But then you're going to think that it means only water, and therefore you need these lemudim to say that not. Okay. Tanarabanan. Yochot sloy kol tzorka yehei chayev. You would think that if a person roasted the Korban Pesach fully, then he would be chayev. Now, what does that mean? Rashi gives two explanations. One explanation, which he doesn't like, is that you would think that you'd be chayev, the case that we just talked about, where you roasted the Korban Pesach and then cooked it, maybe you would be chayev even if you fully roasted it. So it's completely roasted, and then you cooked it. Maybe you'd be chayev, and the braisa is going to tell us that not. Rashi doesn't like that explanation, because once we're saying that sloy v'achakach bishloy, that if you roasted it and cooked it, you're chayev. Why would we think there'd be a difference whether you roasted it fully or not? So Rashi's preferred explanation is that sloy kol tzorka means you over roasted it. So now it's a bit burnt. That it's not burnt to a crisp, but it's burnt, it's roasted much more than it should be. It's not even a matter of cooking then. Now what we're saying is, forget about the cooking. You would think, given the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, no, umavushal, and it has to be davka roasted, maybe tzloy kol tzorka, maybe being over roasted, is also possible. So you would think, yehei chayev, no, tamad lema, al tochlim menu no. Therefore, the pasuk says, don't eat from it, no, or cooked at all with water, from which we learn, no, uvoshel mevoshel amartilach. So it's only also if it's no, uvoshel mevoshel, v'loy shetzloy kol tzorkei, not if it's over-roasted. What does that mean? What does that mean, over-roasted? Heichidami, amravashi d'shav yecharucha, means that he made it burnt. So again, we're not talking about burnt to a crisp where it's not edible anymore. Obviously, you're not yotze with that. We mean where it's over-roasted, and now it's harder than usual or whatever. So we're saying that you're not being mekayim in the mitzvah in the best possible way, because not really tzliyesh anymore, but nevertheless, it's not possible. And a person is not chayev for eating a Korban Pesach that ended up like that. Okay. A couple of interesting things, by the way. Why b'chla? Why, I mean, the gzeres hakosev that the Korban Pesach has to be roasted, but why taka? Why does it have to be roasted as opposed to any other way of cooking? There are a couple of interesting reasons that are given for it. One way is that's the way free and rich people eat their meat. Poor people, like, they have to get the maximum amount of nutrition and being filled up from their meat. So therefore, they cook it with water and spices and whatever, and that way it's more filling. And roasted meat is not necessarily that filling, and the Torah wants to stress that we're bnei chorin, therefore we eat the Korban Pesach, therefore we eat the Korban Pesach roasted. Another idea of it is if you're going to be cooking an animal, you usually cut it up in pieces, so you put it in a pot. when you roast it, as the Torah is telling you, you roast it whole. That way, it was clear when they're doing it in Mitzrayim, and remember, the Egyptians worship sheep, that they're actually taking the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians and shechting it and roasting it in full view of everybody, and we're not afraid of the Mitzrayim because we're under the protection of Hashem. So that was and several other reasons as well. Tana Rabbanan, Yochol Ocho Kezayis Chai Yehe Chayev. You would think that if a person ate a Kezayis of the Korban Pesach completely raw, that he would be Chayev. No, Talmud Loimar, therefore, Al Tochel Menon Na Uvoshel Mavoshel. Again, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it Na or cooked. Na Uvoshel Amauti Lacha, so it's only also if it's Na or if it's cooked, V'loi Chai, not if it's completely raw. Because we're going to see in a second. Now, when we learn Chumash and when we translate it, we often translate the word na as raw. But the Gemara is going to explain that's not really what it means. So yachol yehi mutter. So then, in that case, if you're not chayev, you'd think you're allowed to do that chachila. No, tamad lema ki im tzliyesh. Therefore, the pasuk says, but you have to eat it roasted in fire. We're going to talk about on Amud Beis whether that itself is a loisaseh. Or whether that is only an esser, but either way, a person is over on that if he eats the Korban Pesach anything other than roasted. So therefore, so raw would be included. He wouldn't get malchus for it. He might not be getting malchus for it, but it is also. Heichi dami na. So what is the definition of na? Amarav k'de ami parsoi abarnim. It's like what the Persians describe it with a word in their language, abarnim, which means like we would say in English, half-cooked meat. So it's soli ve'en et soli, Rashi says. It's roasted, but not fully roasted. Some of them, of course, talk about maybe we mean, in other words, it's less than Michael Ben-Rusoi. Whereas once it becomes Michael Ben-Rusoi, maybe that's enough. Maybe that's the minimum for it to be considered sli'esh la'halacha. Now, we're going to talk about on Amud Beis that we're going to talk about on Amud Beis the concept of lav shebichlolus. You have sometimes where you have something which is a lav, but nevertheless, a person, and there's machlokas whether a person does or doesn't get malchus for it. So Rashi over here learns that the words ki im tzli'esh are a lav shebichlolus because the implication is only, you can't eat it any other way than tzli'esh. Completely raw wouldn't be tzli'esh. However, we're talking over here according to the opinion that a person doesn't get malchus for lav shebichlolus, which is a point that we're going to take that up on Amud Beis and talk about the different opinions about that. Okay. Amar of Chista, I'm a vashel b'chamit Tveria b'Shabbos potter. If a person were to cook something using the hot springs of Tveria, the boiling water over there in the hot springs, on Shabbos, then he'd be potter because on Shabbos, a person is only chayev for cooking something with toldus eish, with something with fire or with something that was heated up by fire. And these aren't. These are underground hot springs in the natural springs. So therefore, he'd be potter. On the other hand, Pesach Shabishle b'chametz Tveria chayev. On the other hand, if you cook the Korban Pesach using chametz Tveria, then you'd be chayev. Now, b'pashtus, it's because b'pashtus, why would he be chayev? Because it's cooked. So therefore, the Gemara is going to ask, you have a contradiction. An interesting point that a couple of Achorinim make is, how could you cook the Korban Pesach in chametz Tveria anyway? Chametz Tveria are in Tveria. The Korban Pesach is brought in Yerushalayim. And then how are you getting it there anyway? Well, because once you take it outside your shalim, it becomes puzzle. So actually, there are a lot of different answers to that. There's an answer that goes back in a sefer called Yechusei Tanoim Vamiroyim, which goes back to the times of the Rishonim, where he explains that maybe the Gemara is talking about over here only during the 40 years in the desert, or afterwards when the Mishkan was in Shiloh and Noiv and Givon, where therefore the Korban Pesach could be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So then, conceivably, a person could be eating it in Tveria by the hot springs over there. And then there's a good deal of discussion about that among the Achronim, about the pros and cons of it. One very interesting answer is, you know, nowadays you have thermoses, you can take hot water from point A and carry it to point B, and it'll still be hot because the container insulates it. So maybe they had such things in those times where just the opposite. You could take hot water from the springs in Tveria and bring it to your shalayim, and it would still be hot enough to cook the Korban Pesach in it. Maybe. Another point, though, that some Achronim say more straightforwardly is, you know, we'll say that right now there are no hot springs in Yerushalayim, but you could have, let's say, in the future, a hot spring could have been in the past, or there, no, not necessarily, but there's no evidence of it. In fact, we have in the first Perek, where the Gemara said, why are there no hot springs in Yerushalayim? We said because we want people to be Olo L'Regel, L'Shem Shemayim, not because if I only went there for the hot springs, then it would have been Dayenu. But but in the future, there could be hot springs in Yerushalayim. Befrat, you know, in Mashiach's times, we're going to be doing mitzvahs completely the Shema. So at that point, there could be hot springs in Yerushalayim, and it won't have that problem. So then this din could apply. Okay. Anyway, the question is, Maishna b'Shabbos deloy. So what's the difference on Shabbos? You're telling me if a person cooks something in the hot springs, then he's potter. Detoldus eishbeinen. Because to be chayev on Shabbos, it would have to be something that was heated by fire, and this is not. Pesach nami lav toldus eishu. So by Pesach also, bishul. The definition of bishul for Pesach should be the same as it is for Shabbos. It requires toldus eish, and the hot springs of Tveria are not toldus eish. The answer is Omar Rava, my chayev katoni to call over mishum tzliyesh. You know what we mean by chayev over here? We mean he's chayev on the grounds that he was over on the mitzvah of kiim tzliyesh. The pasuk is telling you al tochlu mimenu, don't eat from it. No voshem avoshel kiim tzliyesh. So that constitutes a lav. That Rashi learns that constitutes a lav. Don't eat it any other way than tzliyesh. So even if you say it's not considered cooking, but it's not tzliyesh either. Now Rav Chista then Rashi says would be holding that a person can get malchus for lav shebeklolus. Even though you have, this is a general lav that includes several things, nevertheless, Rav Chista would be saying, unlike what we just said before, that you could get malchus for such a thing. On the other hand, Tosfos on Amud Beis learns that chayev over here, Tosfos learns that kiyum tzliyesh is only an eser, that's only considered a lav in certain very specific circumstances, so therefore, they say that chayev over here doesn't mean he's actually chayev malchus, it just means he's over on that eser. And in fact, Rav Chiya braided of Nasan Masnil Alahadar Rav Chista Behedia. In fact, so we asked why Rav Chista is being Mechayev and Pesach, and we had to answer, Rava had to explain that it's because he's over on Sliyesh. So Rav Chiya braided of Nasan learned Rav Chista's statement explicitly in the first place, where there's no kasha. Omer Rav Chista, he said, the version is, Omer Rav Chista, I'm a Vasha B'chamet Tveri B'Shabbos Potter, or Pesach Shebishle B'chamet Tveri Chayev, She'ova Mishum Tzliyesh, and the reason is because he was over on Tzliyesh. So we don't need then the question, and then Rava's answer, we see it, we have it directly in what Rav Chista said. Omer Rava. Here's another din. Rava says, Ochloi na. If a person were to eat the Korban Pesach na, half roasted, like we said before, loika shtayim, then he's getting two malchus. Number one, because he was over on lo sochlo menu na, and he's also over on kiim tzliyesh. So, and mevushal, similarly, if he ate the Korban Pesach cooked, also loika shtayim, because he was over on lo sochlo menu mevushal, and also on lo sochlo kiim tzliyesh. No, umavushal loika shalish. If you were to eat it raw, half roasted and cooked, so let's say it was one and then the other, or let's say a kazayas of one and then a kazayas of the other, loika shalish, then you would be getting three malchus. One for na, one for mavushal, and one for kim tzliyesh. Abaya Omer ain't loikin a lav shebeklolus. Abaya says, no, you don't get malchus for a lav shebeklolus. Now, a lav shebeklolus is, you have many different things included in it. In other words, when it says ki im tzliyesh, it means anything else that is not roasting. For example, so we had cooking, but we also had, for example, cooking in chametz tveria, which we said is not really considered cooking, alpi halacha. So that kind of thing a person wouldn't get malchus for. So according to Abaya, how many malchus does he get? Ikka de'amri tautihu de'loloki choda mi'as loki. Some say that what Abaya means is that, fine, let's say if he ate it, no, he's not going to be getting two malchus, one on the grounds of no and one on the grounds of tzliyesh, but he'd be getting at least one malchus, he'd be getting malchus because he ate it, no, and the Torah tells us not to eat menu, no. So that's one version. Another version is that actually he would not even be getting that he would not even be getting. Rashi says that you could. Rashi says what it means is, in other words, that also if let's say he cooked it in chametz tveria, so there's no malchus on the grounds of na. There's no malchus on the grounds of mavushal because we just said before cooking in chametz tveria is not considered bishul. However, he'd be getting malchus still because of tzliyesh. The ikka de'amri. Ikadamri, Choda Nami Loloki, Others say he wouldn't even get one Malkus. He couldn't even get Malkus for Tzliyesh. Deloy miyachid lave kilav de hasima. Because the lav of Kiyim Tzliyesh is not unique. It's not specified to one thing like the lav of hasima. Hasima, the Torah tells us, loisachsem shobedishoy. You're not allowed to muzzle an ox while it's threshing grain or any other animal while it's working for you. You have to let it eat on the job. Now that pasuk is right after the psukim that talk about Malkus. In fact, there's not even a parasha psucho or stoma between them, as there usually is between mitzvahs and parashas kisetze. So, therefore, we have a hekish. We learn that we're learning, therefore, that lois sachsim is an example of the kind of lav for which a person gets malchus. We learn a number of things from that. For example, that's where we learn that a person doesn't get malchus for lav she'en by maisa, or for a lav hanitek la'esa, if it can be fixed up afterwards by doing a corresponding esa, and so forth. So one of them, like stealing, for example, is a lav hanitek la'esa, right? So the second version of Abaye is saying over here, there you have one and only one thing also in it. Loi sachsim shorabadishoy. Therefore, in order to get malchus for something, it has to be that you're specifying one thing not to do. Here, ki im tzliyesh implies, but not many other kinds of things. It includes not cooking in regular water or liquids. It includes not cooking in chametz veria, even though that's not considered bishul. It includes eating it raw, etc. So that last version would say that you can't get malchus for such a lav b'chlal, because the lav shebichlalos. Tosfos gets into a whole discussion about it, and Tosfos learns differently. What it is really the words ki in tzli'esh are basically an esser. They're telling you only eat it roasted. So if a person eats it anything other than roasted, then he's being over on an esser. However, since the Torah mentions it in connect, however, Rava would say that since the pasuk mentions it together with na and mevushal, which are things that a person is chayav malchus for, then it means it sort of transforms it into a lois esser. So that's why Rava is saying you get three malchus, one or up to three malchus, one for na, one for mevushal, and one for tzliyesh, because by itself Tzli'esh would be an esther, but because it's together with non mevushal, then it gets transformed into a lois esther. Abaya, meanwhile, would be saying that you don't get that. Abaya would be saying that. Let's say they didn't give him asra because of no or because of mevushal. Let's say they only told him don't eat this because if you do, you're going to be over on kiyum tzli'esh. Is he getting malchus for that? So the first version of Abaya would say yes, and the second version would say no, because the lav shebichlalos. The kiyum tzli'esh. So if he eats it, in other words, again, if he eats it any other way than na or mevushal, according to Rashi, the scenario is he ate it something which is neither na nor mevushal, but it's not tzli'esh either. For example, raw, cooked in chametz veria. According to Tosfos, the scenario is he is in fact eating it na or mevushal, but the scenario is where, let's say, they didn't give him asra, they didn't tell him don't eat it because it's na, they told him don't eat it because not tzliyesh. Is he getting malchus for being over on tzliyesh? So the first version of Abaya would say yes, and the second version of Abaya would say no, because they only gave him asra on something which is a lav shebichlalos. A lav shebichlalos, again, a lav which includes different things, because it includes, na is a specific lav. It says don't eat it half roasted. Mevushal is a specific one. It says don't eat it cooked. But tzli'esh is too generic because it includes anything which is not tzli'esh. The Rambam and the Ramban have a long discussion about this in Sefer HaMitzvahs. One of the Rambam's shoshim in Sefer HaMitzvahs is that we talked about it earlier in the Masechta, is that Rambam learns you can never get malchus just because the Torah repeats an isser again and again. For example, let's say that according to the Rambam, the fact that let's say the Torah repeats in many places not to eat shrotzim is not a reason to get multiple malchus for eating shrotzim. So he learns that we learned earlier in our perek that a person can be high of four or five or six malchus for eating different kinds of bugs. And the Rambam learned that what it is because each of those bugs is in different categories, which has a different issur on it. There's flying bugs, and there's bugs that live in the water, and there's bugs that live on the land, etc., etc. So in the course of that shodash, the Rambam deals with this whole matter of lab shebechlalos and explains, in other words, that you have those different kinds of lab shebechlalos. You have one kind where the Torah tells you don't do something, and that something includes many unrelated things that a person might do. For example, the Torah tells us lo seichlo al adam, don't eat with the blood, and there are half a dozen different things, unrelated things, that we learn from that. We learn from that that you're not allowed to eat the blood of a, you're not allowed to eat the meat of a korban before the blood is sprinkled on a mizbeach, and we learn that the Sanhedrin has to fast on the day when somebody is going to be executed, and we learn that you're not allowed to eat before davening, and we learn that a ben sora remota is not allowed to eat the way he does, etc., etc. So that's one kind of lab shebechlalos. That's not what we're dealing with in the Gemara over here. Then you have another kind of lab shebechlalos, where the Torah mentions several details and a general statement. For example, we have over here, the Torah is telling us, don't eat the Korban Pesach, no or mevushal, only eat it tzliyesh. So that's another example of lab shebechlalos. And so this is the kind that we're dealing with. The question over here then, whether a person would get malchus for such a lab shebechlalos. So, no, not because mevushal means 10 different things, but because not sli'esh means a bunch of... Actually, the Rambam learns not so much because of that. It's because the Torah didn't use the word loy on each one of them individually. If the Torah had said, al tochel menu no, al tochel menu mevushal, al tochel ukiim sli'esh, then yes, of course, a person would be getting malchus individually for each one, and there'd be no question. The problem is that over here, it only says al one time, covering all of them. That's another example of a lab shebechlalos. So therefore, so you have the machlokas over here, whether you're getting malchus for a lab shebechlalos or not. No, so that's the thing. In other words, if we say that you don't get malchus for a lav shebechlalos, then you can't get malchus for any of them, not for nah, not for mevushal, and not for tzliyesh. Unless you have, that I'm explaining, sometimes you have the Torah will give a number of details, and we learn based on various middos, shatron and dereshes b'hem, that each one of them is separate malchus. For example, the Torah tells us, lechem v'koli v'karma lo seichlu, that you're not allowed to eat bread or toasted grain or fresh grain from chadash until the omer is brought, and the Gemara explains that a person gets malchus separately for each one of them, and the Gemara explains over there because it didn't have to say, ultimately the Gemara says, because it didn't have to say koli, it could have said bread and fresh grain, and we would have learned koli by tzadah shabbos, so therefore it comes to teach us that each one gets its own malchus, but not in this case over here. The Ramban has a long discussion about what the Rambam says over there. He disagrees with the Rambam on almost every point. For example, the whole matter of can a person get malchus for the fact that a lav is repeated multiple times. He says, absolutely, that's the pshat of the Gemara before about eating the bugs, that a person is high of four or five or six malchus because the Torah repeats over and over, don't eat shrotzim. Nothing to do with the Rambam's idea because they fall in different categories. As far as our Gemara over here, the Ramban says, you actually have three different kinds of lav shebechlal. You have, again, the first kind that Amma mentions, where you have, for example, loisoichlo al adam, where it includes many different unrelated actions. You have the kind where the Torah gives a list of things, and then you have the kind where the Torah gives a list of things together with a klal. For example, the second kind would be, let's say, for example, the Torah tells us, loisavi esnan zoino mechir kelev. You're not allowed to use a thing that was used to pay the fee of a zoina, or something that was used in exchange for a dog. You're not allowed to use it as a korban. So that would be an example of the second kind of lav shebechlalos, because you have one loisavi covering both of them. Then you have the third kind of lav shebechlalos, which is what we're dealing with in our sugya, where not only it says al tochlemenu no voshem uvoshel, but it adds ki im tzliyesh. So now you have the machlokas Abaye and Rava. Is that considered a lav shebechlalos or not? So and therefore the question of whether a person can get malchus for it, and if so, how many? Okay. So we have a similar machlokas between Rava and Abaye, and we have a similar machlokas as far as another case where the Torah tells us don't do something, and it lists some pratim and it lists a klal. By a nazir, the Torah tells us by a nazir, it says that he's not allowed to eat. He's not allowed to eat grape skins or grape seeds. And it says, in general, mikol asher yo'asim migefen hayayin, anything that comes from a grapevine, he's not allowed to eat, which includes other things as well, other than the grapes themselves. It includes, for example, the lulavei gefanim, the young growths at the ends of the branches of the grapevine. You have little new growths, which are edible for a little bit. You have grape leaves, etc. So you have a similar machlokas. Rava says that if a person ate grape skins, he would be getting two malchus. One because it was over on zoglo yochel, and another one because it says kol asher ya'aseh megefen hayayin, anything that comes from a grapevine you shouldn't eat, and this comes from a grapevine. Chartzim like a shtayim. Similarly, if he eats grape seeds, he'd be chayev two malchus. Zog v'chartzim like a sholosh. But if he eats grape skins and grape seeds, then he'd be chayev three. One for the zog, one for the chartzan, and one from the kol asher ya'aseh megefen hayayin. Again, Abaya Oma ain't looking at lav shebechlolos. Abaya says you don't get malchus for a lav shebechlolos, and therefore not. So what does that mean? Again, we have the two versions within what Abaya says. Ikadami tautu deleloki chodam miasloki. Some say that it means he wouldn't get two malchus, but he would get at least one. Again, according to Rashi, we'd be talking about if he ate something else, which is not grape skins or grape seeds. So let's say he ate the lulaveg fanim. According to the first version of Abaya, he's getting one malchus for being over on the kol asher ya'aseh megefen hayayin. According to Tosfos, we're talking about he did actually eat grape skins or grape seeds, but they didn't give masra because of that. They gave masra because he's going to be over on the kol asher ya'aseh megefen hayayin. And so the question is whether he's getting malchus for that. According to the Rambam, the question is whether he's getting malchus at all, or is it considered, or is there at least one lav in there that's high of malchus? So one version is that yes, the ikadami chodonam liloki. Again, some say another version is that he wouldn't get malchus at all. Delami yachad lave kalav de chasima, because the lav is not specifically stated like the lav of loisachs mishor b'dishoy. It includes many different things. Therefore, it would be considered a lav shebechlolos, and it's not subject to malchus at all. Tosfos points out, actually, it's the same machlokas as with the Korban Pesach Noah and Mevushal. Tosfos points out that actually in Nozir, when it brings this machlokas about the Zog and the Chartzon, the opinions are flipped around. There you have Abaya is the one who says that you would get two or three malchus, and Rava is the one who would be saying that you get one or zero. In fact, the Rambam Paskins like the opinion of Abaya over here. Because now, usually Abaya against Rava, the halacha is like Rava. So the Rambam had the girsa the other way around. Like it is in Nazir, that in both cases Rava is the one who's Mekel, and Abaya is the one who's Machmir and says that he gets two or three malchus. So he's passing really like Rava. However, it comes out he's passing like the first version of Rava, which the Noisa Kalim deal with the question. Usually when we have two versions in the Gemara, usually you paskin like the second one. That's one of the Ramban's questions on the Rambam. How is it Rambam paskin like the first opinion, like the first understanding of Rava, when if you have a second opinion, how can you give the guy Malchus Misafik? And that's why he learns the Gemara completely. That's why he learns the whole matter of Lav Shebechlolos differently. That's one of the things that causes him to learn the whole matter of Lav Shebechlolos differently than the Rambam does. That and the bugs, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Turn it up on him. If a person ate a kazayis of the Korban Pesach, no, half roasted, but it was mib'oid yoyim, it was on Erev Pesach. No, we said does not mean raw. We said raw, a person is potter. He's over on Kiyim Tzliyesh, but he's not getting malchus for it. Again, Rashi had said on Amud Aleph, if we say that a person gets malchus for a lav shebechlolos, then maybe he would get malchus for that. But because if we hold that we don't, and the halacha is that he doesn't, then therefore he doesn't. Tosfos, on the other hand, had learned that Kiyim Tzliyesh all by itself is really only an eser. It only becomes a lav only if they gave masra based on it. And here they didn't give masra based on it, so therefore he's potter. So ocho kazayis no. So he ate a kazayis of half roasted Korban Pesach, but it was mib'oid yoyim. It was still on Erev Pesach. So potter, then he's potter from malchus. On the other hand, kazayis no mishech hashecha. But if he ate it after it got dark, then he'd be chayev. The flip side of it, now we're going to learn later on, one of the dinim we're going to learn in the seventh parak is the din of where you're allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Meaning, besides that you have to eat in Yerushalayim, of course, there's also a din. The Torah tells us, Bevayis Echod Ye'ochel. That the Korban Pesach has to be eaten in one house. And we're going to discuss it later on, the Masechta and the Peis, we're going to talk about the dinim of Yahat. So it means the Korban Pesach has to be eaten in a chavura. You have to have a group that prearranged to eat the Korban Pesach. And you have dinim over there. Is the chavura themselves allowed to move from one place to another? And is a person allowed to leave the chavura and eat the Korban Pesach in a different place, separate from the rest of the chavura? We're going to talk about those dinim in the seventh and eighth parakim. So, So if a person, so ochel kazayis tzlim mibeodyoim, so if he ate a kazayis of roasted korban Pesach meat, mibeodyoim, before Pesach began, while it was still daytime, loit posel atzmim b'nei chavura, he didn't with that make himself posel to join the rest of the chavura after, to eat the korban Pesach by the Seder, because the fact that he ate it mibeodyoim is not considered that he ate it in one place and now he's going to be eating it in a different place. Or he ate it in one chavura, and now he's going to be eating in a different chavura, because the eating it before Pesach begins is not significant as far as that. But kazayis tzrim shecha shecha. But if you ate a kazayis of the roasted meat of the korban Pesach after it got dark, posel atzim b'nei chavura. Now he made himself posel to eat the korban Pesach together with the rest of the group, because now he's going to be eating it in two different places. Because he ate it first by himself, and now he's going to be eating with the rest of the group, and that would be in two different places. And we're going to learn later on at the end of the seventh parak that you're not allowed to do that. But so the point is, in other words, it has to be that in order for that to be the case, it has to be that he ate the korban Pesach the way it's supposed to be eaten, roasted, and at the time when it's supposed to be eaten, after dark. If he eats it earlier, if he eats it not roasted, then it doesn't count towards that purpose. Tanya Idach, we learn in another braisa. Yochol ochol kazayis nom m'oidyoyim yehei chayiv. You would think that if he ate a kazayis of half-roasted meat m'oidyoyim while it was still daytime, that he'd be chayiv malchus, the dinhu, and you would make a kabachoymer. At the time, Pesach night, when you have the mitzvah saseh of eating it roasted, you have at that time the mitzvah of don't eat it na. So at a time, Erev Pesach, when you don't even have the mitzvah of eating it roasted yet, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that the issue of al teuchel menu na already applies? Oiloi, but continues the Braisa, maybe not, maybe that's not a valid reason, because after all, you could say, maybe you could say like this, b'shah she'ene b'kum echol tzli, when there's no mitzvah yet to eat it roasted, yeshne b'val teichol na, then that's when you have the mitzvah of not eating it na. You could argue b'shah she'eshne b'kum echol tzli, ene b'val teichol na, maybe fakeut, maybe on Pesach night, once you have the mitzvah of eating it roasted, maybe at that point the mitzvah of not eating it na goes away. The altis, man, you shouldn't be surprised. What do you mean? The issue goes away. How does the issue just go away like that? After all, the Torah is telling you can't eat it up to that point at all. And now, Pesach night, the Torah is making an exception and saying you can eat it tzli. So maybe at that point, you're allowed to eat it other ways as well, other than tzli. So we wouldn't know one way or the other. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, Al Tochel Menu Na Uvoshel Mevoshel B'Moyim Ki Im Tzliyesh. Therefore, the pasuk says, don't eat from it Na or cooked in water. Ki Im Tzliyesh, only roasted on the fire. She'ein Talmud Lomar Ki Im Tzliyesh. Now, the Torah did not have to add the words Ki Im Tzliyesh, because the previous pasuk already tells us that you have to eat it Tzliyesh, that you have to eat it roasted on fire. So, Uma Talmud Lomar Ki Im Tzliyesh. So, what are we learning from those words? Ki Im Tzliyesh. Now, Tosfos says, we learned from that before about the lav, but that's because we learned not so much because it said kim tzliyesh, but because it put it next to na and mevushal. But after all, the Torah didn't have to repeat the words tzliyesh again. It could have said kim tzli, whatever. So what are we learning from that? Loi malach, it comes to tell you, the shah sheyeshne mekum echol tzli, only when you have the mitzvah to eat it roasted, yeshne b'al teichel na, that is when the isur and the chiyuv of al teichel menu na kicks in. The shosh ainim b'kum echol tzli, when you don't yet have the mitzvah of eating it tzli, ainim b'al teichel na, at that point you're not yet over on the isur of al teichel menu na, which is what we said before. Therefore, that if a person eats a kazayis of it na while it was still daytime on Erev Pesach, then he's not getting malchus for it. Because that isur and that chiyuv only kicks in when Pesach night comes. Rebbe says, here's another limud we have from the pasuk. Ekra ni boshel. After all, the Torah could have only said the word boshel. It didn't have to say boshel mevushel. Ma tamal mevushel. What are we adding by the word mevushel? Now, on Amud Aleph, we said that Rebbe is learning from. The word of boshel mevushel that includes other kinds of liquids. So that's the Gemara is going to ask. What do you mean? We're learning something else from it. We just said that you need it to learn about other kinds of liquids. But meanwhile, Rebbe is saying, why did it have to say bushel and mevushel? Should yachol aim the elosh bishle mishachashecha? If you only had, if it only said bushel, you would think that it means that he's only chayiv if he cooked it after Pesach began, which is again when the mitzvah of eating the korban Pesach comes in. So maybe only once the mitzvah comes in of eating it roasted, at that point if he cooks it, then he's oiran alav. How do we know that he's also chayiv if he cooked it before Pesach began? Talmud Leimar, Boshel Mevushel Mekol Mokom. That's why it says Boshel Mevushel, meaning regardless, anytime. So the question is, what do you mean? How can Rebbe use the words Boshel Mevushel for that limud? V'ha Boshel Mevushel, Apkei Rebbe, Letzli Keder, L'Sham Ashkin. We already said, I'm an Aleph, that Rebbe needs the words of Boshel Mevushel to teach us that a person is chayiv if he cooked it in any other liquid, because he didn't accept the Kal V'Chomer of the Chachamim, that you can learn that Madach water doesn't give it another taste, other liquids give it another taste, Alachas Kama V'Kama. Rebbe needed a limud from a pasuk for it, and he learned from Boshel Mevushel. And we said the result of that is that Rebbe said he's also chayiv even if he made a pot roast of it, because the fact is it is Boshel Mevushel, it's cooked in its own juices. So how does he have it now available to teach us about cooked before or after Pesach begins? The answer is, Imkain, if that was the only limud we needed from it, Le Makra, Oy Boshel, Boshel, Oy Mevushel, Mevushel. Then the Torah could have just repeated the same word twice. The Torah could have said, Boshel, Boshel, or Mevushel, Mevushel. My Boshel, Mevushel. Instead, it uses two different forms, Shamet Minotarti. Therefore, you can learn two different limudim from it. Number one, that other liquids, and therefore that it ends up including slikader as well, that ends up including the pot roast. And also, what he's saying over here, that it only applies once the chiyuv of, that it applies even before the chiyuv of eating korban Pesach kicks in, even if the person were to cook it on Erev Pesach, he'd already be over. Because the fact that the Torah used the word of Voshel Mevushel, if it's cooked regardless, and it used two different Lashonis, means regardless when it was cooked, whether before Pesach began or after it began. Not how, but even when, right? So if it only said one Voshel, then Rebbe would have said that a person's chayiv only for cooking it in water. You wouldn't even know about other liquids or about pot roast at all. Therefore, it says that double loshen means to include those. And then, because that double loshen is two different lashonis, rather than repeating the same word twice, then it also teaches us about the time that a person is chayiv, not only for doing it on Pesach night, but even if he cooks it before Pesach begins. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.